We're going to talk about everybody's favorite topic of conflict resolution today. I will give you 30 seconds to get up and leave if you'd like to. But here's the thing, we're going to talk specifically about conflicts that are kind of over these little things, not massive big deals, but like little things that cause maybe little quarrels or little beefs, if you will, but if left unchecked, like can actually become problematic. And we need to think about walking out these conflicts in faith like a guy Abram does today in our story. So think about this for a little bit, kind of chew on it while we go through. Not all hills are worth dying on when we have a Savior who died on a hill for us. So not all hills are worth dying on when we had a Savior who died on a hill for us. We're in week 3 of our series on the life of Abraham called Walk of Faith. It's found in Genesis. We're going to talk about conflict today. Really quick recap. If you haven't been with us the first 2 weeks, we got this guy, Abram. He was called by God to go to a new land. God promises to make his name great, turn his family into a great nation. God's going to bless Abram, and he's going to be a blessing to others. Thankfully, Abram goes in obedience. He does what God has asked him to do. Then last week we learned he's in a land. Famine hits. There is no food, right? So he has to travel to Egypt. What he does as he gets to Egypt, he's worried about his own safety. He tells his wife Sarai, hey, look, you're really beautiful, and these Egyptian guys are going to want you for themselves, and they'll kill me, so just say we're brother or sister, which they were actually half-siblings, to keep Abram safe. That's why he did this. Sarai says this. Abram takes Sarai into his harem as Abram's sister, but God then sends disease on Pharaoh's household because he doesn't want Sarai there. God intervenes. Pharaoh sends Abram and Sarai away. So far, Abram's walk of faith has included walking in faith in obedience, but also walking in faith in the midst of fear. And today we're going to add conflict. We're going to start in Genesis 13 with verse 9 today. It's to be bookmarked there in your Bibles on the table. Kyle will have it right up here on the TV that we are using today. So we're going to start with verse 5, and we'll go through verse 9 to start. It says, now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great they were not able to stay together. Quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in that land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So we kind of enter Lot. This is Abram's nephew. We've heard a little bit about him. Basically, his father was Abram's brother. His father died. So Abram kind of took him on as his own. And Abram at this point has no children. So he takes on Lot. It's a very close relationship. So they have been together for quite some time, and they both have flocks and herds. In this day, they were a means of wealth and status, having lots of livestock and herds. They were used for trade, for purchasing. They could also reproduce, right? So as they reproduce, there's more and more animals coming, and their wealth would continue to grow. It was like their version of our investment accounts that we have today. But then the issue comes in. Animals need food and water. They have to be provided for. And the number of animals between these two men grew to be so great, there wasn't enough food and water for them. And the men both had herders that worked for them, responsible. Their job was to care for the flocks and herds. And the camps, they each start bickering with each other, quarreling about, hey, who's going to get this water? Who's going to get this food? They're trying to do their job, and it was difficult with limited resources. So now we have a different test of Abram's faith. It puts him and his family member at a potential conflict with each other. What Abram does is address it head on. He says, Lot, let's deal with it. We don't need to fight. You pick where you want to go. You go left, I'll go right. We're both in good shape. Let's just figure it out. There's a lot of humility from Abram here. He actually had every right to choose first. He was older, and generations mattered at this time, so he could have picked first. Also, he could have played the God card and said, God called me and gave me this big divine promise. I should get to pick. But he doesn't, because he knows God will provide no matter what. And he wants to resolve this conflict in a good way. Abram's not manipulating. He's not scheming. He's just saying, Lot, you choose, I'll accept it. Let's see what Lot decides to do. Verses 10 to 13. It says, Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. So Lot has decision time. He looks around. He's looking out for himself and his herds. What he sees is one area, the plain of the Jordan, that's well watered. It's described as being like the garden of the Lord. That's a reference back to the Garden of Eden. So how beautiful and how nicely it was created and it looked. Also like Egypt. Egypt would get well watered because the Nile River would flood. So it was a good land. Right there in the spot, it was good land, but around it is different. It's close to Sodom and Gomorrah. This may be a place you're familiar with or maybe not, but it's a place where people were sinning and turning from God. In Genesis 19, we're not going to cover that chapter in this series, but there's a story of God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah because of its wickedness and sinfulness. So Lot actually goes near this area because he likes the spot. He's not directly in Sodom, but he's close enough that the influence might get there. There's some danger potentially there. But he chose it because it was best for his flocks and his herds. So now what's Abram do? Lot picked his area. Where's Abram going to go? Last section, 14 to 18. It says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north and the south, to the east and to the west. All the land that you will see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents, and there he built an altar to the Lord. God seems to be pleased with how Abram handled this whole thing. He comes, he speaks to Abram, he renews a promise to Abram. He says, this land you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. God says, go walk it. It's not Abram's yet, but God is promising it to Abram. As Abram travels around, he builds another altar to God to mark that territory for God. Abram had faith and confidence in God. He could have been derailed by this conflict with Lot. It could have gone bad, but it didn't. He showed his confidence in God. He walked out his faith in the midst of conflict. That's what we want to talk about today, faith in the midst of conflict. And again, as I talked about earlier, I want to shape conflict this way. This is going to be like those little quarrels and squabbles or beefs with each other. We're not addressing if somebody does something absolutely horrible or illegal. It's kind of the smaller scale stuff. Like, look at the story today. The herdsmen, they quarreled, and it needed to be dealt with, but it wasn't at this massive scale. That's what we're going to look at. And there are times when conflict is unavoidable. There are times when you come into a situation and conflict is present. We're going to get to those. We're going to spend most of our time there. But there are times where conflict is actually totally unnecessary, and I want to spend just a brief few minutes there. Because there are conflicts that don't need to happen. We don't need to go out and pick fights all the time. And yes, that includes social media. And some people might say, but Jeff, look at the Bible. Jesus flipped over tables. Jesus got into it with the Pharisees. He dealt with confrontation and conflict. Jesus stirred it up. Yes, he did. But it was necessary when he did it. You know what else Jesus called us to be? His church, his body. He said, be in unity. John 17, Jesus prays for his disciples. And in verse 11, he even prays that the believers, his disciples, the believers would be as one as Jesus and the Father are one. We need to remember that today. We don't need unnecessary conflicts and fights amongst us about, oh gosh, historical beliefs, theological positions, worship styles, building designs, church size, dress code, whether you can have coffee in the sanctuary. Y'all know where I would stand on that one. But here's the thing. We can disagree on all those, but disagreements don't have to lead to division, and that's the issue. They tend to divide us. Disagreements that turn into conflicts and fights and people taking personal shots at each other, people leave churches or churches split, it's nasty and it doesn't need to happen. We are a united church, a church that's united in faith, that walks in faith together, that stands in faith together against the truly dark things in this world, the violence that still happens, the racism, the exploitation of the vulnerable. We need to stand strongly in a united faith against that. Then we need to stand in a united faith for the people that have needs, for the poor and those that are downtrodden, that society looks past. The disagreements that divide us and distract us so we don't stand together against the darkness or for those that are in need. The disagreements weaken the body of Christ, and Christ is not about a weak body. He wants a strong, unified body that is ready to stand together, and unnecessary conflicts work against that. So we want to avoid and shut down the unnecessary ones. But as our story shows, conflict does happen and it will exist at times. So when there's actual conflict, like actual disagreement with people, we need to be like Abram and walk it out in faith. Abram, first off, he did something about the conflict. He knew about it. He didn't avoid it. He didn't ignore it. He didn't downplay it. He acted on the conflict. All of us here currently are living in the Midwest, right? Now, whether we identify as true Midwesterners or not, we live here. And there's a phrase that is Midwest nice. Google AI defines Midwest nice, says it comes from Scandinavian and German heritage and is a cultural tendency in the Midwest towards extreme politeness, neighborliness, and conflict avoidance. Conflict avoidance. It's in the definition of Midwest nice. Clearly, Abram would not have done well in Wisconsin. Okay? Because he addressed it. He acted. He acted over avoiding. Faith is action, right? We believe in our hearts and our minds, but we live out faith. We walk out our faith. We act. And part of that is walking out faith in conflict. So if you're involved in a conflict or somebody bring one to your attention, don't be shy about acting on it. And maybe it seems easier to avoid it and ignore it. And we might even couch that in that beautiful word, grace. We're just going to have grace and not deal with it. But if conflict is always avoided, it grows, it worsens, and it leads to that division we talked about. Acting on conflict can come in a variety of ways. Maybe you're directly involved in one, and you and somebody else have to sit down and have a difficult conversation. A tough and honest two-way conversation where you listen and speak. You listen to understand, and you speak to just explain, not to accuse or hurt. Maybe someone else is involved to help mediate or guide that type of conversation. That's okay. Get a trusted friend, mentor, somebody involved. I've been in those conversations before. But approach that conversation in faith, faith that God is leading you to act and leading you to guide that conversation. If it's you and another Christian, guess what? Go ahead and pray to start that conversation. Before you even start, get your faith at the forefront of that conflict. Act in faith on that conflict, even if it's uncomfortable. And maybe you know of a conflict between other people. Spend some time with God and see, is that one where you're supposed to be involved? There are times when it's not you. There are times when maybe a professional is needed. But there are times, like Abram, you might be the one that needs to help act on the conflict. Right? It started in Abram's story with the conflict between the herdsmen. He got involved and acted. Might be a place you find yourself in. But do it in faith and walk people through their conflict like Abram. And one way we do that, one way we can walk in faith through conflict is by choosing peace over principle. One of the goals of acting on conflict is to bring peace, some type of settling or resolution. And it might come with a give and take. It might come with giving up treating conflict like a right, wrong, win, lose type of scenario. Abram had every right to push and say, I get to pick first, Lot, you just deal with it. On principle, he could have picked that, but it's not always about that. Who here has seen the classic movie from back in the day, Robin Hood, Men in Tights? Okay, good. Then maybe this will stick. Okay. Second best Robin Hood. Ooh, all right. Well, there is a scene where, here we go. Robin Hood is traveling, and you can't see his buddy Achoo is with him, and they need to cross the bridge, right? And little John here, obviously not so little, says you got to pay the toll. Robin Hood doesn't want to pay the toll. So then they decide they got to fight, see if you can get by the bridge. But as his buddy Achoo is so classically saying, it's a stream that's like this, right? You can just stand over it like this. He's like, I'm on one side, I'm on the other side. But on principle, they need to fight each other, right? Now, we wouldn't have the great movie we have if they didn't fight and become friends and all that. That's kind of the point. But there are plenty of times where we need to choose peace over the principle of the thing. Abram did that. He gave up the need to just be right, to stand on principle. He showed humility. He didn't just try to win. How many times have you been in a conflict and it turned in to a win-loss, right-wrong? Does anybody really win? Think about our story. If Abram had just stood on principle and taken the land, would there have been real resolution or peace in that conflict? Now, we can't know for sure, but put yourself in Lot's shoes or in the shoes of his herdsmen, right? And maybe I come in and I say, you know what? I have the rights here. I'm the older one. I got the call from God. I get this land. You just got to go somewhere else. I stamp my sandals down. I smack the walking stick down and say, this is mine. You have to go there. Now, you might accept it. But are you going to feel at peace or like there's resolution? Would you be willing to partner together in some type of ministry or service? That's a lot harder to do. Abram, though, stood on peace to get towards resolution when he didn't actually have to. Can you or will you do the same? Let the example from Abram, this man of faith, lead you to the humbleness to look for peace over principle. When you could put your foot down, when you have every right to. You could have it your way, but in this case, you choose not to work towards peace and resolution. And I understand it's hard. Society might say, yeah, but you know what's right. You're just being a pushover. You're being soft. If you're right, say it loud. We're called to stand on what's right, not just being right. We're called to stand on what's right. If we look at the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians when Paul writes it, the fruits of the Spirit are what comes out of us when we act as God should, when we walk in faith. There is nothing in there about being right and just winning arguments. I'll read it again this afternoon, but I'm pretty sure it's not there. But what is there is peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's okay to not let others know that you're right all the time, even if on principle you are. Put it down to work towards peace in the midst of conflict. And we can do that in faith by keeping our confidence in God. We've got to have confidence over control. Abram gave Lot control. Lot got to pick his land first. And Abram could do that because he had confidence that God would still provide no matter what he was led to. It can be hard to give up control. Parents, the first time maybe you got to let your kids do something on their own. And it's just like, oh, you want to help them, but you got to give up the control. Some mornings this week and even the last few weeks, Joelle has been coming into the kitchen and helping me make breakfast in the mornings, which is great, but it's not so great. Because I move around the kitchen really quickly in the morning. Like, everybody's got to get up, get going. Everybody's got their breakfast they need to make. I have control of my kitchen, right? I want control. I'm not really all that receptive when other people are in my way in the kitchen when I'm cooking, but I've been trying to let Joelle help. And it, you know, even though it takes some deep breaths, you know, she's cutting the strawberries and it takes forever, and she's got to tell me a story between every crack of the egg, which is great. It's a piece of control I struggle giving up. So think about, how good are you at giving up control? How good are you at just not having control? This is another part that's pretty tough when it comes to walking in faith in conflict. But if we look at the story, choosing confidence over control lets us see the bigger picture. Look at Lot. He picked the land that was best and most bountiful right now. That's all he focused on. It was short-term and short-sighted, though. He didn't pay attention to the fact Sodom's right nearby. The people there were already sinning greatly against God. There was evil there. Being that close might be dangerous or end up influencing Lot and his people. His control was short-term. Abram's confidence in God was long-term because he knew that even if he didn't pick the most lush and well-watered land right now, God was going to take care of it and provide. He had confidence, so he gave up some of the control. He was in the midst of a conflict, but he still gave up control. He let Lot dictate. That might be what we need to do. Let someone else dictate a little more. If you've ever been in like some type of negotiation, right, your whole thing is to try to get the best and the most of what you can out of a deal. Give a little more than you think. Because we're navigating conflict while walking in faith. Faith that even as you give up control to another person, you have confidence that God is still in ultimate control. God's control is eternal, while ours would be very, very temporal. Ours is for right here, right now. God's is for eternity with him. Give up control and confidence in God that he will see you through the conflict, see you and guide you to a better place than you could have ever imagined. And as we keep walking in that confidence in God and walking in our faith, our relationship with God, it grows and it strengthens. That relationship with God grows and strengthens. Abram chose relationship with God over a reward, relationship over reward. He could have taken the best land right away, and his herds probably would have continued to grow really well. Right? Again, means of wealth. They would have reproduced, been really healthy, and that looks good and rewards Abram right there. But he chose relationship with God. He also chose relationship with Lot by giving him the first pick. He kept that relationship from straining because relationships mattered to Abram. There's lots of talk in our house kind of recently about the movie and the play, The Lion King, because Jeremiah's in a school musical, and it's The Lion King. So we've been watching it and talking about it quite a bit. And there's a famous scene, I'm going to spoil it if you haven't seen the movie yet, early on, where there is the stampede, and Mufasa goes to save Simba. Here we go. Right? And then Mufasa's climbing up the rocks. He can't get out, trying to save himself. And he looks, he says, Scar, brother, save me. And Scar famously claws him and lets him fall to his death in the movie. I know, spoiled it if you didn't see it. Sorry. Don't worry, there's still so much more that happens. Abram chose, what did Scar do? Scar chose a reward. Why? Because what's he do after this? He goes and becomes king of the Pride Lands. He assumes it himself. That's a whole different thing. But he took the reward over a relationship, even with his own brother. Like, Scar is on the Mount Rushmore of movie villains for me, right? Like, he's up there. Abram had the wisdom to see that winning the argument with Lot was way smaller than the importance of relationships. that were at stake. He knew the value of his relationship with God and with Lot. We need to see the value of our relationships with God and others in the midst of the conflicts we face, our relationship with God. When you are in a conflict with somebody, are you always acting in a way that reflects God really well? Now, it's possible to be truthful and stand firm and to do it in kindness and grace. But like so many things we've talked about today, that's difficult. In conflict, it's easy to go on the attack or to take a cheap shot at somebody. But that's not the way of Jesus. Even as Jesus was getting hit with accusations and lies and everything else he went through, he never once took a low blow at somebody. When, man, all of us probably think he deserved, he could have done it. If we act in a way by taking cheap shots or accusations and all this kind of stuff, it damages our relationship with God because we aren't living for him or in him. We're putting the reward of winning the argument or the conflict over that relationship. How about with others? So many small conflicts cause massive damage to relationships. That shot you take that you didn't need to, it hurts somebody. Or if you've been on the receiving side of that, you know how it feels. And even if that conflict resolves, how much damage was done to the relationship and all over something small. Choose relationships with each other. Yes, it takes time. But man, put a value on those relationships we have with each other. See those relationships as a reward. We're not deep diving relationships today. And there are different depths to the relationships you have with people. But put value in a relationship no matter what. The reward of a good relationship is far greater than anything we'd get by winning an argument. Remember, we are called to be one body. We're called to be one unified body. Relationships that are intact make us a unified body. Not dealing with the conflict, allowing it to fester, that fractures and weakens the body of Christ, and we don't need that. Conflict's going to happen, but fracturing it doesn't need to. We got to have faith in the midst of conflict. We'll wrap up here. Start by avoiding unnecessary conflicts. Not everything has to be a fight or an argument. But when it does occur, choose action over avoidance. Do something about it. Address it. Don't let it sit and grow. And look for peace over principle. It's okay to not stand on being right all the time. Give a little. Give a little to work towards peace and resolution. And have confidence over control. Let someone else dictate the way things go. Give up control for right now and have confidence in God's control for eternity. And then value relationships over the reward. Put value on your relationship with God and with others. Navigate conflict in a way that reflects God well. Navigate conflict with someone else in a way that puts value on the relationship, not winning the conflict or the argument. Not every hill is worth dying on. We don't need to because Jesus died on a cross on a hill for all of us. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you for Abram's example in the midst of conflict. And I just pray, God, that we would follow that. God, in the conflicts we face, in the arguments we face, God, that we would reflect you before anything else. We would stand on your truth. And God, we would stand for you with peace, and we'd walk with you in confidence in any of those conflicts, God. And God, I thank you that you give us the example and you give us the grace inside of us to handle conflicts well and continue to walk out our faith in the midst of those conflicts. So we thank you for that. In your name.